Hey, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
I think you're texting my podium line in the office because I just got a podium message and not me by a text message by accident, which is totally fine. It's just I don't check podium, and I will just do it from now on.
Well, I just sent you a little short video, I think, of the new mounting that I put my 9 carat in.
Yeah, I got that on my regular cell number, but then when the response came through yesterday, what you were texting me, must have been from my response back, so I felt bad that I didn't get back to you because you probably thought
that?
I was texting you.
What text was that?
I'll send the email over, actually. Because I just got the email from them, and it basically says, I rechecked because it's been a few months since I put a light on it, and it looks medium fluorescence. Damn, maybe
not,
strong. I'm in
not,
a bank
not,
vault.
Not from me.
Oh, really?
Uh-uh.
It says Phil Long has waited 6 minutes. Weird.
No, that's not from me.
Yeah, that's so odd.
Y'all have the screwiest communication system I've ever dealt with in my life.
I wish I had never called you then.
Well, it's okay. You can call me anytime about anything.
I know, but I don't want it to be a problem because I thought I missed something.
For that to tell you it was me and I've waited 6 minutes and I didn't do it at all.
Yeah, that's odd. Yeah, I'll have them look into it because it could just be that your someone's telephone number might be attached to your account by accident, you know. It could be
Me.
I could have attached somebody's number when I was on your account, and I could have done it. I'll just have it double-checked in the system so that it doesn't happen again, because obviously somebody's reaching out at some point to me here, and it's not you. I saw it right away, and I called you right away.
Yeah, can you see the number?
No, it's just here. Can you see your email right now? I got an email from my coworker who does check, like, the podium. And so I thought, well, shoot, I missed them yesterday, and I don't want to miss you again because I missed you the other day, and then I caught you busy. And I wanted to talk a little conspiracy theory earlier in the week, but your phone went to voicemail, and I thought, well, maybe it's my phone, but maybe you're busy too, so... This was like perfect timing in my eyes, but obviously you didn't do it for it to be perfect timing. So maybe I just manifested you into my world today. Who knows?
Yeah, no, it hadn't come through yet.
Oh, it hasn't? It says it was delivered. So, well, whenever you get it. It just says from Podium. I wonder if Podium, like, sends, I don't know. I'll look into it. However, I wanted to get your ear and bug on something that I heard from a jeweler this morning, and I'm like, that kind of makes sense just overall, but let me run it by my dude that knows things. Has there ever been a time, because he's like my age, and his parents own a store in Vidalia, Georgia, you know, and, you know, he's big, big old, you know, country dude, and I created this, I should send it to you and get your opinion after we're done, too. That's a whole different conversation, but it's actually led to some really big diamonds calls coming my way from other jewelers. We got this 20-carat round brilliant FSA2 natural for like $825,000.
I saw it.
Most jewelers are going to try and get like, you know, $1.3 million, $1.7 million. So I said, hey, I kind of a bird dog fee. Like, I took your little example and I thought, you know what? Let me create a campaign that's all based on natural big diamonds because that's what I'm seeing. Even if
I can answer that question before you ask it.
What?
You want to know what is the acceptable markup on something like that based on the mathematics of profit, which nobody knows.
Nobody knows, right? But I also don't want anybody to leave anything on the table, and I don't want the integrity of the stone lost either, you know?
No, it is a third over cost on big stones.
Oh, just 30, a third and that's it? No,
33%, that's it.
Okay,
Well,
all right.
More if you can get it, but...
Right. So a million three to a million six is a pretty decent number.
How much does it cost? $800,000
$825,000 yeah.
Well, then it's going to be $825,000 plus plus $240,000
Mhm. Oh. That's only 30. Yeah. So $1,000,001, $1,000,002 So most jewelers are going to try to get 45% to 65% if that's the case.
Well, you can't do that on big stones.
That's what
too. Unless you're offering 5-year financing and all that kind of shit. And,
but
and
on big stones
way,
like this, that's not how it's working.
Here's
they want
the way,
a deal, right?
Here is how, well, yeah, but you can't give them a deal and lose money.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the deal. Everybody thinks that volume cures lots of problems. It does in certain things overall, but volume, normal volume on nationwide, you can verify this through Jewelers of America. Normal volume is 40% cost of goods. So a general store averages 2.5 markup across the board from batteries
for everything. Got it.
For everything. 40% cost of goods. If you can average 40% cost of goods, which is a 2.5-time markup, you will make 6 to 7% profit at the end of the year after everything is taken off. No more, no less. And those
okay,
figures.
So do
are
those
verified.
Numbers again. Let me run those past you. So if you're 2.5%, that's going to be 40%.
40% cost of goods.
Yep. So 6 to 7% over every single year growth wise.
That is everything you sell.
Okay.
Then,
but so like when a big sale like this happens, you take it off the table, you don't count it in your numbers, or do you count it in your numbers and you write down,
you
hey, this month.
You absolutely count it in your number because it lowers your percentage. It's not a 2.5-time markup, it's a 1.33.
Mm-hmm.
So it lowers your numbers, but it's figured in the average.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the deal. The profit earned on the normal retail jewelry store, I don't care how big they are, I don't care how small they are, the normal profit, if you have a 40% cost of goods at the end of the year, is going to be 6% profit, and that's all. Now, if you don't average 40%, you aren't making any money.
Mm.
And that is a proven fact. Through Jewelers of America, you could get the annual cost of doing business survey, which every jeweler that belongs to Jewelers of America gets free.
Mm-hmm.
And you can plug all those figures in to whatever size and volume of store you have because they break it down in all those categories.
Got it.
They'll
got it, got it.
Stores over 10 million, stores a million to two, stores under a million. You know, they break it down like that. So you can make it fit your deal. Now,
yeah.
here's the thinking on the 1.33. That lowers your overall cost of goods for the year. Yes, you made money on that diamond, and you made what you consider good money. But
mm-hmm.
as far as profitable businesses based on percentages, not dollars in the bank, it's based on a percentage of profit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I worked,
you right now, don't worry.
When I worked for MB Zale, I worked personally for the old man that invented Zale Corporation.
Right.
I used to meet him in the surplus vaults in New York City and
wow.
bargain with him while we were having lunch, just him and me.
Wow.
And he was 76 years old at that time, and I'm 27, you know.
Wow. What an experience that just was.
Oh,
right?
My God. And he told me, he said, you've been calling in on some bigger goods. He said, more so than what the other stores are calling in for. And I said, well, they walk the customers because they don't have anything to show. Mm-hmm. I constantly am calling it in from the home office. As soon as I send one back, I call another one in, so I'll always have one.
Got it.
So, and if you have one or two, then you're showing them, and then customers are interested. Well, not only that, you get interest, and you find out what they really want, and then you call them in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how. So anyway, he told me, he said, the absolute minimum markup that I want you to make on any large purchase, whether it's a stone, a big diamond pin, a necklace, whatever, a big sale, is a third over cost.
Wow.
And he said, and here's how we come up with that. By the time we plug everything back in, then what we make on that, after all of our expenses, expensed out for the year, that volume just gets eaten up in all the other volume.
Got it.
In other words, and you wind up using it to pay bills. If you don't put it away,
you don't like invest in a new line or take a risk somewhere along the way or something.
You're catching up on bills that you haven't paid and stuff like that. So 1.33, and I have talked to so many retail stores, guys that I know. He said, "Oh man, I'd make 10% over profit on something like that." And I said, "You're stupid.
Yeah, that's hurting you.
You do not know the math."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "What do you mean the math?" I said, "See, just the fact that you asked that question shows me that you don't know what the fuck you're talking about."
Mm-hmm.
And I would whip out. I said, "I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna get my business plan. I'm gonna bring it down here, because in the business plan is a copy of Jewelers of America Cost of Doing Business Survey, and I'm going to show you in mathematics how if you make 10% on a big diamond, you actually lose money by the time you plug in your overhead."
Oh, I'm sure. Well, with Zales, I'm sure. So you said his name was J.B. Zales. What was he like?
M.B. Morris Zales. He invented Zale Corporation.
Oh yeah, right.
And he was based in Dallas. And at this time, he had 1,100 Zale stores, and there were 340 what we call guild stores, which are Bailey Mason Biddle and.
Yep, that's how MDJ was kind of started. That's how Dominic started. He left. He used to be a head buyer and we ended up buying Billy's Bink and whatever that one was.
Bailey Banks and Biddle, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, there were 340 stores. Zale Corporation would go into existing markets and buy up privately owned jewelry stores that were Rolex dealers and Patek Philippe dealers and Schuler McTeague and Oscar Hyman, and these are the fine old stores where
Mickey Moto and all those things, right?
That's
exactly
right.
Hearts on Fire. Yeah, I get it.
They were the far best. They were the dominant player in their market.
They had probably the most amount of overhead too in the market.
Well, but they've been established for 70, 80 years.
Like the Sissies of the world you're talking about? Those kind of independents or like smaller guys?
Well, both. But,
okay.
But as long as they had the dominant place in the market,
mm-hmm.
and they were getting older and they wanted to sell out and they didn't trust their son or their daughter or their niece or they had nobody to take over.
That would take it over. Similar to like, well, you have your daughter, but yes, similar to like yourself.
So they would sell their business, and Zale Corporation would fold it into a company called Fine Jewelers Guild of America, FJG. And they would not change the name. They left the name because they paid good money for that name. Why do they want to name it something else?
Yeah.
So they had 340 stores across the country under 34 different names. Houseman's in New Orleans, Corrigan's in Dallas, Bailey Banks in Biddle. And,
yeah, we had one of those where I grew up in our mall.
Okay. So anyway, they kept them under that umbrella, and they streamlined their expenses and their advertising, and they made them more profitable than a
Absolutely.
Single owner could do because they could buy better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they could afford more Rolexes in the case and stuff like that. So
yeah.
That's who I work for.
Got it.
Work for those. I work for Jacobs in Florida is what it was called, and Broadnax in Memphis. But so that's who that man was.
Got it.
And he was like, oh, my God, nobody in the company ever even got to talk to him except the board of directors and the presidents of the division.
So it was a huge honor then, huge honor.
I'm having lunch with the man
in
New York.
But, like, he's just a real person, right? Like, people, I think, sometimes think of our owner, Mike, that way sometimes, too, because he is more exclusive. He didn't go to a lot of, like, the IJO, RJO shows. So it was like coming to Rochester or you had to go to Vegas in order to meet Mike. So he's kind of a bit of an ambiance, but like Sam, his son traveled, Andrew traveled. Like we were always out there kind of as his little correspondent. So it's kind of the same thing when people are like, you got him at your disposal. You just had lunch with him. I'm like, dude, I went to his house on Christmas. I'm wondering if he gave you that kind of vibe or was he just all business and you just were just lucky to be in his presence?
No, he was a laid-back, philosophical
really?
Guy.
Really? I love that.
He would tell me one time, I'll never forget this, we were having lunch, and he was talking about philosophy and how to run a store. And I'm a young guy. I grew up in my dad's store. I didn't know any of this. And he said, what you got to remember is we don't sell socks with holes in them. And I'm going,
okay.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when you sell socks with holes in them, you're keeping secrets from people. He said, you be up front with everybody, you lay it all out, and you just be a good merchant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I thought, well, that's good. Because, see, he also owned a company called Levine's, which was a clothing chain.
Mm-hmm.
And
Did he start there?
No.
So he started in jewelry then, huh?
Yeah, right. They were the very first ones to ever offer credit in the jewelry business.
I remember that. Like, and also, did they also own, like, something called, like, it was like a company almost in our area because my parents went there all the time, like the Source or something maybe it's called. It was like a smaller chain in our area, and I think that they also, when I got into the industry, I was like, where did my mom get that one item that drove her nuts? Service merchandise.
The Source, I know.
Service merchandise.
No, that wasn't them.
It wasn't them? Okay.
No, that wasn't them.
Yeah.
They also owned Zale Life Insurance. Zale Trucking Company.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he expanded kind of like a little bit like Mike. Mike has like his real estate. He's got MDJ, but he's kind of staying in his own realm a little bit. But that's interesting. What do you think about saying about gold?
I could pick up the phone and call him. When he's in the corporate office down in Dallas, I could pick up the phone and call MB Zale.
Right, because there wasn't cell phones back in the day. But that also gave you, you put on a pedestal in front of people? Like, people
most
probably didn't like you.
Most of the times he wouldn't talk to store managers or supervisors.
Right, right.
Because he had a chain of command.
Yeah.
But I could pick up the phone and call his number in Dallas, and they would put me through every single time.
Yeah, that's respect right there. That's because he values you that he picked up that phone. That's important in a relationship.
I was friendly to him. I didn't bow down at his feet.
Ah,
like
you aligned
did.
Yourself as an equal, first and foremost.
Well,
never.
Not an equal. He was like a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him lots of questions about lots of stuff. That's how you learn.
That is absolutely how you learn.
And he told me one time that he looked at diamonds as a super currency. And I said, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And he said, we're site holders. We buy directly from De Beers, and then we resell what we don't want to other cutters. Mm-hmm. He said, but I lost my train of thought.
No, you were talking about super currency.
Super currency. And he said, diamonds are super currency because we can take our bags full of diamonds and we can go to any country in the world and buy all the rubies, all the emeralds, all the sapphires, all the finished mounting, anything we want, and pay for it in diamonds. We don't have to use dollars.
Mm.
We pay for it in diamonds. It's a super currency.
Well, that's kind of, I think that's kind of the way the world is leaning more towards that kind of world again, don't you think? Like with China and the fact that, you know, for years overseas, when you got married, you had a dowry, and it was not like, you know, dollars and cents of a wedding put together. It was here's three goats and a lamb and a cow and all the land you might need to make a good living. You know what I mean? Like, that's what people did. That's how they paid and bartered for food. And, you know, the baker needed eggs. Well, if he didn't have chickens, he had to go to a farmer. The farmer needed the baked goods. You know, it's all
that goes back to when women weren't considered a productive part of the family, and that's how they got rid of their daughters.
Ah.
They paid somebody to take them.
Really?
Well, yeah. That's kind of a demeaning thing to say, but I don't mean it as a demeaning thing because that's what it really was.
That's a different perspective. I never really looked at it. I guess I looked at it, but it's true because, like, when I had my Jenny's
especially
sister,
in Oriental, in Oriental families.
Yeah, because my exchange sister was the oldest of three, and in her in Japan, when they first start getting together and they have their first child, they start saving so that one of their kids can have an experience like traveling overseas, but never, because she said, my sister's coming over to, her sister came over and stayed on the west side of the country here, but she came over like the next year, and she goes, it's so fortunate that my sister, I was in college, I think, because she had been home, and she'd stayed with me when I was a junior in high school, and she basically was like, I'm so excited that my sister got a home, was partnered with a home. It doesn't happen over here in Japan. Most Japanese families can only afford to take one family member, and my family is being able to afford more than one. So it's like, I get the standard of, like, the Chinese and those Asian populations that looked at girls in that light because an overpopulation was bad, too, but it is demeaning when you think of it, like, oh, my God, people killed, like, their daughters back in the day, and these women were,
women. They always talked about my number one son, number two son, number three son. They never said number one daughter, number two daughter, number three daughter.
Right. And look at freaking Queen of England, what's her name? Redhead, that she died a virgin, they say. Blah, 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 blah. Queen Elizabeth, no, Queen Catherine, Queen, one of them. They say that she, like, it was only due to the fact that she was an illegitimate from Henry that had all the six wives, and she was Anne Boleyn's. But they just put her off in a whole separate part of the country in a faraway land to live as a little girl, and all of a sudden she's preteen and she's going to be the queen. Because it just so happened. But you're right, they talked about this son, this son, this son, and then it's the girl.
You know, there's a movie about the other Boleyn sister.
I love that movie. It was good.
Yeah.
Do you know that Queen Elizabeth, or Princess Diana, excuse me, she is a descendant of the Boleyn?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where her bloodline goes through. It's pretty cool. I deep dived into that a few years back. But back to the
back to what we talked about, the markup on big diamonds.
Oh, yeah. On that conversation with markup on big diamonds, I just sent you a bunch of content. Feel free to use what you want. And if you want anything different, feel free to do that too. I'm trying to just be like, let's talk more. Let's manifest, you know. So I deep dive on like social media, and I don't know if you'll agree with me or not, but most jewelry stores, they all look the same, and it's this half off, similar to our conversation with Kelly, you know, in her marketing and all like the social media aspect of things and stuff. I was like, let me create from our conversation, her conversation, and a few others, some photographs, something that you guys don't have at your disposal, like a 20 carat. But let's just talk big diamonds. Keep the integrity of the stone.
Okay, I got this text figured out that you just sent me.
Okay. Now you get it? That's what I came up with.
Well,
and
look at the date. Look at the dates. February 25th.
Oh, the email, you mean?
Yeah, the thing that I sent to the text line.
Why did I just get it today? That's so odd.
Well, because I did one last night. If you look at that one, it says 6:09 p.m. at the bottom.
Oh, I didn't see the one at the bottom. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And they never answered me back.
Yeah, because I don't check it. So this is me answering you back right now.
Well,
I don't have access to do that.
Well,
but the
website says, thanks for texting us. We will be with you shortly. In the meantime, please save our contact information for quick replies. And then they never reply. So that's a really bad deal to offer.
I'll let them know that that's how you feel. In the future, just text me and just take that number out.
Well, but it pops up on the screen, and it was after hours, so I didn't want to bother you.
Oh, my God. It's never a bother.
I know, but that text thing to me is worthless.
Yeah.
I had a customer waiting for an answer. So what I put a pair of hoop earrings in my cart, and nowhere on your website does it tell how big the millimeter is on the hoop earrings, which is the number one thing every jeweler needs to know.
Oval or if it's a round, you mean?
No, it's just an inner outer hoop earrings. We need to know if they're 20 millimeters or 24 millimeters or 28 millimeters or how big are they?
Right, all right.
You know, size of a dime, size of a nickel, size of a quarter. You know, but nowhere on your website on your hoop earrings does it tell that, or I couldn't find it. Does it tell how big they are? Well, you can't order them until you know how big they are, so that's stupid. I mean, that's real stupid. They need to fix that. Unless I just couldn't find it. I looked twice.
The millimeter thing is just I think that podium that is used for people that don't have relationships with, like, I think that's what it's saving grace is. If you don't have a good, because I rarely get anybody that goes through, unless it's somebody, like in your situation, after hours and they don't want to disrupt me or.
But it doesn't work.
Well, it's supposed to link up and there's supposed to be somebody that does answer during regular business hours. And I do believe that does take place. But after business hours, I think we just look at it like, okay, you'll put it in your shopping cart or you'll call tomorrow morning because it's not anything that can be done or shipped. If you put it in your shopping cart, it'll save it and timestamp it, so you'll be the first one to have access to it.
So I still need the answer to the question. I have a customer that I think wants those earrings, but they want to know how big they are, and I can't tell them.
All right. Hold on. Do you have the P number real quick? I'll find out right now.
It's in my cart.
Oh. Can you finish and do the full, like, click to order all the way at the end? If you click to order, I'll get an email.
Where is that?
If you click to order, it should be at the top right, maybe, on your screen. Say finish order. It'll ask you, like, shipping information, too. Maybe that's what's missing.
Where will it ask me that?
Hold on.
On this podium thing?
No, not on the podium thing. If you put that shopping cart, if you were in and adding things into your shopping cart from our website, at
So
the end, it'll
I
say,
have to go to your website.
well, that's what Podium is. It's through our website, and then it will just kind of direct link you out so that you can contact us through their service that we partner with them for. Jewelers have it. I think that's really why we have it, because a lot of our jewelers have it, and they pay for services to do, like, these marketing blasts on people's text messages. And, you know, I'm sure you've gotten it. Like, if you walk around near a store and it's geofencing you, then you'll get a,
hey. The P number is...
Yep, that's what I need.
246-888.
All right. Let me call you right back. I'll get it right now for you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.